All right, it is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk about those wonderful events. As I was reading the Palm Sunday story, which we're going to get to in just a few moments, I realized that in the Gospels, there are very few places where Jesus says he needs something. We are told that he needed some water. So he asked the woman at the well to get him some water. And what we're going to commemorate next week, Jesus needed to borrow a grave just for the weekend. I'm thinking that might be a great sales pitch. Newly released grave, formerly occupied by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You too can share that space. But the third place which I noted that Jesus needed something is in the text we're reading this morning. It turns out he needed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. Our text is Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what is spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. What lessons can we learn from Palm Sunday? What would God have us go home with today? I hope that I've been sensitive to the Spirit enough that at least one of the things which I'm going to pull from this text will resonate with your soul and cause you to reflect and consider your response to Palm Sunday. The first lesson from Palm Sunday is this: we should obey even when we don't understand what's going on. We should obey even when we don't understand it. Think back over what you know about Jesus. He and his disciples are walking towards Jerusalem. It's a path which they have no doubt taken before, and they're walking. That's what you expect of them. It reminds me of that old joke, which I'm sure you've heard before, about a long-haired kid who had bad grades and who had just turned 16. And he says to his dad, "Dad, can I get a car? Can I drive the car?" And his dad said, "Well, first you have to bring your grades up, and you have to get your hair cut." So after a few months of studying hard, he had brought his grades up, and he went back to his dad and said, "Dad, my grades are high now. Can I use the car?" And his dad said, "I told you you had to get your hair cut." And the child thought he had a great response to this. He said, "Jesus had long hair." To which the father said, "And Jesus walked everywhere he went." You've heard that joke before, but as a part of that joke is this underlying truth that Jesus walked everywhere he went, except Palm Sunday. What gives with that? All of a sudden, he was within a couple of miles of Jerusalem, and he suddenly needs a ride? We've never seen Jesus riding before. We've never seen him asking his disciples to fetch some means of transportation to ease his weary feet. But on Palm Sunday, suddenly he needs a ride. And he sends two unnamed disciples to the edge of a village on a heavy travel day to borrow a ride. Actually, he doesn't say, go borrow it. He just says, go take it. And then he says, if you're asked, then explain what you're doing here. It's almost as though Jesus is sending a couple of guys out to steal a donkey. That's what it looks like to me. Even if it's that, my brother and I had this thing we used to say, well, look, it's not tied down, we can take it. We were thieves. How we both ended up in ministry and not in prison, I don't know, but this donkey's tied down. Jesus says, go untie the donkey and the colt and just take it. You know, horse thieving has never been a well-respected occupation. Can you imagine what went through the minds of these two disciples? When has Jesus ever asked them to do something so bizarre? He wants us to just go get a donkey? Just take it? Maybe we should leave a deposit first or something. Seems a little risky. Is he trying to get us arrested? Maybe stoned? He's asked them to do some strange things, but this probably thought was a little dangerous for the disciples. It's pretty radical stuff, and it gets my mind going. It's Jesus we're talking about. It's Palm Sunday. Couldn't he have just called down a chariot from heaven to ride in Jerusalem? Maybe an extended limo? Something to make a statement? The king has arrived? Now, in our perspective, that's the way a king should arrive. You don't just sort of slip in on a stolen donkey. A chariot. I imagine the chariot that Elijah rode to heaven. That would have been an impressive ride. Jesus could have done all sorts of things. But don't we already know that what Jesus could do and what he does do are often very different things? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, to set him free. But he chose instead to die for you and me. He could have called a chariot upon which he could ride into Jerusalem. But instead, he told his disciples to go find a donkey and bring it to him. I wonder which disciples went. Perversely, I wonder whether one of them was Judas. Judas, who is going to betray him. Jesus lays out this little bit of risk. Go do something that seems so outside of the box that you would never think of it yourself, but I want you to do it. The disciples go, they find said donkey, they take the donkey and the foal. And Luke actually tells us that the owners of the donkey did challenge him. Yo, what are you doing? That's my donkey. Don't be taking my donkey. Then he said, the Lord needs him. Oh, in that case, go ahead, take the donkey. Now, to me, in my thinking, there's a couple of miracles right there. The miracle that these disciples just go and do it. They go with the intent of taking something which is not theirs. And the owners of the donkey say, "That's okay. Just take it. Most of you have stuff." Someone walks up to your house and says, "I'm taking your car." "Well, wait, what do you mean taking my car?" "Well, the Lord needs it." No explanation. You say, "Sure, go ahead, take the car." It's another miracle, too, because the colt hasn't been ridden, and Jesus is going to ride on a colt. And I don't know that much about donkeys, but I'm guessing most of them don't like being sat on for the very first time. That donkey said, "Go ahead, sit on me. I'll be glad to carry you into Jerusalem. Never done it before, but you're okay." Maybe Jesus had been on a major diet and he didn't weigh that much. Or maybe God just arranged this for his greater purpose. Jesus gets on that donkey, it doesn't complain, and he rides into Jerusalem. And all is well. Which brings me to my conclusion about that part of the incident. When Jesus asks you to do something that you don't understand, do it anyway. It may not make any sense to you, but lack of understanding on your part does not liberate you from obedience to the one who understands everything. Lack of understanding on your part does not liberate you from obedience to the one who understands everything. So if he tells you to go take a donkey, go take a donkey. Second lesson I learned from this passage has to do again with that donkey. It is simply this. We should continue to believe even when things seem delayed. That the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey is a prophecy taken out of Zechariah 9:9. Now, Zechariah, if you want to look in your Bible, it's the second to the last book of the Old Testament. And when we say Old Testament, it's ancient now. It was old then. 500 years have passed since Zechariah wrote his prophecy. Actually, 2,500 now. 500 at the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. 500 years. No one in this room can even remember in history what happened 500 years ago. 1517. I don't think Mary was Queen of Scots yet in 1517. What was going on in history then? And you're going back through, okay, well, what did my history teacher say? Let's just put it this way. That was a long time ago. Zechariah wrote this. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Why did Jesus need a ride on this day? 500 years after Zechariah gave that prophecy. Because God takes a long view of history. At what point do you think you would have gotten discouraged and stopped believing in that prophecy? Ten minutes? We have a short attention span. We can barely make it through a three-hour football game hoping our team will win. 500 years. God takes a long view of life. His purposes are not always accomplished quickly. God's timing is not the same as our timing. We live in a Burger King world, a Burger King age. Have it your way right away. But we serve an eternal King. 500 years is nothing to God. We may not see how God is going to work things out for His glory and in His manner, but that doesn't stop us from believing that He will. Don't despair. Don't give up believing just because the fulfillments of God's prophecies are not yet completed. This is an extremely important lesson to learn from Palm Sunday. It's important for us to remember, we believe even though we haven't seen the fulfillment of all prophecies yet, because Jesus is coming again. This is one of the major prophecies of Scripture. He who died upon the cross, was buried and rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and from there He's going to come back with the sound of the trumpet. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we who are believers in Jesus Christ will be caught up with Him in glory. That's the promise of Scripture. And it's been more than 500 years, but we still believe it. He delays for reasons we do not fully understand. But the donkey of Palm Sunday reminds us of our hope and it strengthens our belief. We continue to believe that even though it seems like things are delayed beyond belief, we continue to believe because we have so much evidence that Jesus eventually fulfills the prophecies of Scripture. The third lesson, it has not so much to do with the donkey as with the people who lined the streets of Jerusalem that day. And that is this: we should worship even when things don't seem quite right. I say this because much has been made of the crowd on Palm Sunday, potentially being the same crowd or numerous people from that crowd being there when the crowds called crucify Him. And the disciples must have felt pretty awkward on that Sunday morning. Here it is, a big parade for Jesus. The crowds are gathering around and the palm branches, and the local high school probably sent the marching band. If they didn't, they regretted it. We missed a parade. The Shriners were running around in little mini-mobiles and their clowns. Jesus is coming. And I imagine myself as one of those disciples scratching my head and saying, huh? What a strange day this is. Both exhilarating and absolutely perplexing. These disciples have followed Jesus for 3 years. They have been there when He did things which were absolutely bona fide miracles. Peter getting out of the boat to meet Jesus walking across the water. The blind receiving sight. The guy with the withered arm, stretching out his arm and becoming whole in everybody's sight. The Sermon on the Mount. All the parables. The skirmishes with the Pharisees and the scribes. The incredible experiences that they had. I wonder which one would rise to the top of the list of things that they loved about the ministry of Jesus. And here it is, Coronation Day. The mountaintop of mountaintop experiences. Finally, everybody gets it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what we've been telling you for 3 years. You guys are really slow. Finally, you get it. Jesus is here. Finally, there, teacher, the Lord is getting his recognition he deserves. I wonder if James and John looked at each other and they realized that the discussions that they had about who would be greatest in the kingdom now had significance. Now we're going to find out. Jesus has come into his own. It's exhilarating. But someplace in the back of that gray matter was this memory of a conversation they had with Jesus just a day earlier. The perplexing part of Palm Sunday. Look back just one page in your Bible. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 to 19. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." This was no cause to celebrate. The parade featured a dead man walking. Okay, he was riding. Do they sing along with the crowd? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna!" On this Palm Sunday, something was not quite right. They probably didn't know how quickly the calls of Hosanna would turn to calls to crucify. But the disciples had seen too much of Jesus. They had heard him say too many things to stop believing what he said now. No matter how big the crowd was, the words of Jesus still resided in their memories. He was going to be delivered up to the Gentiles. He was going to be condemned. He was going to be mocked. He was going to be crucified. And they really didn't understand the part of the equation where he said he was going to be raised again on the third day. Their hearts were right. The hearts of many of those singing Hosanna were shallow at best. But still they worship. You know, worship is not dependent upon those around you. Your worship of God is not dependent upon the people around you being right with God. It's not even dependent upon the worship team being right with God. It's not dependent upon the pastor being right with God. Your worship of God is dependent upon your heart being right with God. Everything doesn't have to be perfect to worship Christ. We should worship even when things don't seem quite right. The song's a key too low. Does it matter? Somebody's raising their hand or not raising their hand, does it matter? The disciples could have spent Palm Sunday looking at the crowd going, "You? I've seen the way you question Jesus." They could have closed their own mouths and not sung Hosanna. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Well, they could have done what we are called to do. Simply worship. There will always be some who are merely caught up in the moment but have no relationship with Jesus Christ, and that should not stop you from worship. Some of them will be really enthusiastic. Some will sing extremely well. Some who have no relationship with Jesus will sing better than you do. And you may sense that something is wrong. Worship anyway. Worship anyway. We don't worship the crowds. We worship the King. The King who rode humbly into Jerusalem on a donkey to remind us that we should obey even when we don't understand what's going on. That we should continue to believe even when it seems like He has delayed in the fulfillment of His promises. We should continue to believe, and we should worship even though some of the people who worship with us don't really understand Jesus. Palm Sunday, the beginning of the High Holy Week of the Church, where we focus upon all these things that Jesus did in the final week, read through the Gospels and the message that He gave between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. And we recognize that we point towards this great and coming event when Jesus dies upon a cross. Because on Palm Sunday, He knew that by the end of the week, He would die for us. And when He heard the crowd say, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord," He knew that they did not understand what that meant to Him. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey because He loves us. Let's continue to believe. Let's continue to worship. Let's continue to obey, even though we don't understand what the King is asking of us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for that ride into Jerusalem. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Help us to be faithful, to continue to obey You, even when we don't understand, to continue always to believe, knowing that You delay for Your purposes, not the least of which is that others might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And help us to not be so concerned about the people around us when we worship, but help us to worship our King. Amen.